Hello! You are listening to The Dungeon Boys, a group of seven friends telling a story, Dungeons and Dragons style.
Podcasting is fun.
This podcast is rated M for mature because we say a lot of fucked up shit all the time.
And we say fuck a lot. And bitch.
Oh.
And whore.
We don't say whore too much.
We don't say whore.
I don't think we've said whore.
No.
We should start saying whore.
If you are enjoying this lovely first season of our podcast, please go check us out on all the social medias or come hang out with us in our community Discord. Yeah, it's a great community for the TTRPG folks who are on this ride and adventure with us. And now, the Dungeon Boys proudly present Stardust
Echoes. Wait, we gotta do our intros.
Oh, but let me go ahead and introduce the boys.
Justine.
What is your character's most interesting scar?
Is it a physical or an emotional scar?
That's up for you to decide.
I'm scarred both physically and mentally.
Hi, guys. My name's Ellie. I play Pants, the artificial kobold. Pants' most interesting scar is probably he got slashed. So he's got like this badass scar right across his whole entire body.
That's sick.
Yeah, but you know.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
It was a very emotional and physical scar. Because he almost died.
What is going on, you bitches and barbarians? It is your boy, Grant. I play your golden dragonborn, barbarian, Kothal Tarash. His most interesting scars, obviously his whole body is covered in scars, but his most interesting one is that he has two mirrored ones on the back of his hands, right where his wrists meet from where he was trying to use magic at school. They're identical. On either hand, and they're mirrored.
Whoa,
that's cool.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Tarash went to school.
This is content for you guys to react to each other.
You don't have to tell us to react to stuff, Justine. We were
sorry.
Now everyone clap.
What are they shaped like?
They're shaped like dicks.
No, they're not really any specific shape, but you know, because like I said in one of the intros from, you know, way episodes ago, they're not like natural like cuts and slashes. They're all like kind of like jagged edges with like, kind of like lightning shape to them. So, but on his wrists are kind of like, they're kind of like both matching on either side.
Oh, okay.
Shit. So cool.
That's sick. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean react. I meant that's a cool thing to bring up in game we could talk about. I didn't realize had existed.
Just like how Grayson looked at Tarash, and he's just like, hey, you know that magic that you use? Yeah, we're going to talk about that later. And then now we're 12 episodes later, and we still haven't talked about it.
It happened.
Yeah.
Grant's not bitter at all.
Real time, not much time has passed since that conversation happened.
Honestly, more insane things have happened since then, like, you know, meeting the embodiment of the remnants of the Feywild after it was destroyed and turned into a person. And
that was wild, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was Feywild. Hey guys, it's me, Lindsay, playing Six, the Tabaxi Rogue, and Six is, what was the adjective for the scar? Coolest?
Most interesting?
Most interesting.
Oh, most interesting.
Fuck.
Six is most interesting scars are on her heart and soul from the blatant neglect, abuse, and mistreatment from her father.
Hashtag daddy issues.
Jesus, I'm sorry I asked this.
Yeah, but does she have any cool physical scars?
Yeah.
That's such a pants answer.
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, emotional damage, I don't care. But if you have any cool scars like I do?
Emotional damage.
That's like, did you almost die like I did?
That's okay. That's a personal question.
Yeah, she's got some pretty sick, like, cyber sigilism looking scars right above her ass. Ooh. That kind of looks like a tramp stamp when she was
sick.
Like an awkward bald spot.
Yeah,
there.
When she was hunting a robot.
Why is it shaped like a butterfly though?
With two little hearts at the end.
It looks like it says spring break on it.
Spring break.
Hi, my name is Arland. I play the winged tiefling Sorlock, Valen.
Tiefling.
Anyway, so the most interesting scar that Valen has, it almost looks like a palm print, and then it like erupts outwards. Like there's like five little things on his shoulder. It goes up his neck, and it was a It came from his master, who is now revealed to be Bart.
Wow.
And it was, he had fallen down and got knocked down during practice, and Bart offered him a hand up and picked him up. And as he picked him up, he hit him with, like, an energy blast in his shoulder. And it was, like, a big lesson to be, like, never accept help from anybody because you're always on your own.
It's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That bitch.
And my name...
What well, the nope, fuck?
I'd be a piece of shit today. You wow. can punch me through the computer, Anthony. I give you permission.
Hi, everybody. I'm Anthony. I play Grayson Cato, the half-elf ranger on the Dungeon Boys first campaign, Stardust Echoes. Or as it's known in the street, Stardust Echoes.
Hell yeah.
Grayson's most interesting scar is probably all the friends he's made along the way.
Oh.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Oh my god.
Wow, I like that.
Okay. Ellie's saying, "What? That's really mean."
Cool. And my name
no.
is...
No.
Oh, damn, I'm sorry.
I knew that was going to happen. Off to a
great start, ladies and gentlemen.
I was just waiting
off
for that.
Off to a great start.
That's excellent.
Hey everyone, I'm Dylan, and I play Temple, the Warforged Monk on Stardust Echoes. And Temple's most interesting scar is actually tattoos that Monks of Mercy tend to get, but because he doesn't have skin, so they had to chisel and intricately carve the tattoos into his metal body.
That's honestly fucking sick.
It wasn't like acid etched, they didn't like put like the... like paint the designs and then dip them in a vat of acid so everything just corrodes except for the
Oh yeah, that could have been cool too.
Hell yeah.
Was it like poke stat like style?
It was probably like usually like stick and poke
stick
style
and poke.
But then they
yeah.
had to get like
a chisel,
some like diamond tip thing, and like
a laser.
They just pull out like just sanders and grinders, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a nice calm environment. And all of a sudden, you just hear.
Okay, is there anyone else who has to go?
No, you good now.
Nope, you're good.
Hey, and
hey,
I
what's
am
up, everybody.
I knew it. Hi, I'm Justine, and I am the dungeon master for this campaign, and now. The Dungeon Boys proudly present Stardust Echoes. Last episode. Upon realizing the Feywild was destroyed, Grayson took a distress call from the Cato estate and found out that Terrowyn's powers had gone haywire. She had damaged half of the estate. So with the few days they had left, they make their way back to the planet of Moss to check on Terrowyn and possibly glance information on how the Nautical has further changed this year. Their goal upon reaching the Vaults of Nautical would to be, of course, have Torash make his win, but also obtain a piece of the cannon which they so desperately needed, the scope. But on their journey, Valen and Grayson became possessed by their patrons Lilith and Tarith. And now we sit in the aftermath. As you're all kind of bunched together in this group, breathing heavily, looking at the remnants of Pants' broken crossbow on the ground, and Tarith just pulses with energy as he stands in the corner of Grayson's barrack and tilts his head and looks at you all, eyes lingering on Valen for a second. And he says,
"Quite a show, I must say. I never am impressed, but I will give you the time and place where Lilith will be at her most vulnerable soon. And I expect that favor to be fulfilled by any means necessary. Oh, and Torash, Good luck with the race, if you even make it.
And he lifts a hand. The red and black flames that look so close to Grayson and Valen's power kind of lick at his fingertips and his hair, and he snaps his fingers and disappears. And the lights kind of come back up a bit, and you're all just standing there.
I took the cloak away from Valen when he was passed out.
You did.
So what is that called again?
It's a cloak of dragon scales.
If you all wouldn't mind, I would like to get some sleep. So could you all please get out of my room?
This is something we need to talk about once we get a little bit further down the road. So why don't we all just try and get some sleep and call it a day? We'll talk about this after we sleep.
Is the hole behind you going to be okay? That was a pretty good blast.
You know, if it ruptures and fails and I get sucked out into the vacuum of space, I guess that is one way for this journey to end for me. And at this point, I'm kind of okay with it. So
that's very wise. Be where you are, otherwise you'll miss your life.
Exactly. Exactly what I'm saying. We are absolutely on the same page. Thank you very much.
Temple scene Ferris Bueller.
Well, nighty night.
You're still here?
Pans is holding the cloak of dragon scales. Is Arlen still passed? I mean, Valen still passed out?
Torash has him kind of like holding him underneath his arm, and he's leaning on Torash.
He's also unpossessible for like the next hour.
Yes. Pants goes, so what is this, Valen?
Valen's just going to look at it like, I don't know. I got it from Nyx's stash.
Pants wants to cast Identify on it.
Do it. You want to do it?
Do it. You want.
You fucking negging Pants.
I don't even know where I am right now.
Cast Identify.
Okay. So you realize that this is a cloak of dragon scales. These were the dragons that were slain on V7 during the 300 year war. So Grayson, you're probably seeing this now for the first time too. Nothing like this has ever been seen or made before. When it's worn, you get a +4 to stealth and a +2 to acrobatics.
Pretty good.
You also sense there is some sort of spell or curse on it. Valen was able to identify it last session. You wouldn't know what it is, Pants. But there's something there with it.
So, but I know that it was like made out of dragon scales.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Pants goes, so you put this on and that's when Lilith possessed you?
Yeah, that's the last thing I remember. I'm assuming it's probably because she sensed the power from the cloak and knew I had some shit.
He takes it and runs to the airlock.
Can someone grab him? I kind of got my hands full.
he's running. What do you want me to roll?
Well, it depends. Is anyone going to try to grab you?
Hold on. I'm gonna cast Mage Hand to grab the cloak.
He runs. He's running. He's booking.
Yeah, but
he's little.
Cast
he's
the Mage Hand. I'm going to grab it.
Hold on. I want to roll.
Let's do athletics.
Oh, shit.
You want to just me beating my spell save, DC?
No, you'll probably have to roll something.
Come on.
That's a one, Pants. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh.
So, Pants, you're running and literally feel your feet go off the ground.
Doing the Looney Tunes.
No, I'm holding onto the cloak, not Pants.
He's like clinging to it. He will not let it go.
The cloak gets pulled up and Pants' little feet are still going as he holds on.
He's like clinging to it.
You can hang on to Mage Hand.
I'm gonna roll strength.
While Pants is floating, I think I'm gonna like let go of Torash and then walk over.
I got a 19 for strength.
It's a natural 20.
Natural 20, but I have a -1 strength.
Perfect.
Yeah, Pants has a vice grip on this. This is not going anywhere.
Let it go. Let me go. I need to do this. Let it go. We gotta get rid of it.
It might come in handy.
No.
I know it's kind of it's.
We've been through this, Valen. We're getting rid of it.
Hey, Pants. I got something else for you though.
You will not trick me with goodies.
Go ahead, Temple.
Can I just do a history check on that? I think with Pants's role, like
the cloak was like steady long enough for him to get a look at it.
Absolutely.
Can I do one as well? Just because I want to get in on this.
Vice grip.
14.
Grayson, you want to do it too?
No. Now that everybody's out of Grayson's room, Grayson has just closed and locked the door.
It was almost a natural 20, but it ended up being a 7.
Yeah, Temple, you would realize the information that I passed to Pants minus the it has some kind of curse on it.
But I can see that it's dragons from V7.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that this is, it's beautifully woven.
Temple's not a fan of this thing. This is a disgusting, awful thing.
Hell yeah.
So Pants is like, Temple, help me, best friend, come on, we gotta get rid of it.
Besto friendo.
I don't think destroying it's the we need to do. Throwing it out in space, if we're gonna destroy it, we need to actually get rid of the magic.
Pants does have a point.
Don't listen to Valen, he's tricky.
I'm not tricky.
He might still be possessed, you don't know.
Pants, I gotta do the, I do the hand thing. I'm like, look at my eyes, Pants.
No, little no, buddy. You will possess me. Pants. No, his eyes are like shut and he's like clinging to it.
That's not how this works at all, Pants.
No.
What are you doing, Anthony?
Because you had a bad day.
I did have a bad day. Pants had a really bad day. His crossbow is destroyed. He's like trying to help his friend.
Walk up to Pants. And I'm gonna hold on to the cloak with my hand now, right? And then I'm going to cast Remove Curse.
You son of a bitch.
All right, I just cast it.
The sheen of the dragon scales kind of becomes darker, and it goes a little limp in Pants' arms.
Okay. And then I let it go. I'm like, okay, I just needed to do that.
Would you?
I had to destroy its connection with me. I guess do what you want, but I'm just saying it can come in handy. I mean, we are coming up against a cancel, and the more magic items we have, the better chance we have at, you know, accomplishing our goal.
How about we, no offense to you, Valen, but how about we just not give you any magical items for a little bit? Seeing the fact that, you know, Pants does have a very good point, is the fact that all of these magical items that you have acquired and attuned to have, you know, led to your possession and wanting more power from Lilith. And as much as I don't want to really fulfill the request of a demon, we do have to destroy her. So getting her more powerful in the end is not going to help us out.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the power's not for her. It's for us, but okay. I'm just saying don't destroy it.
Pants releases it.
I hand it over to Torash.
Pants, maybe you could tinker together a little box and a lock, and we can start just locking up all of the magical items that Valen acquires.
That's an excellent idea.
Pants, I'm going to hold on to this cape for now until you finish that box. I will give it to you.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna turn to Pants and I'll be like, I wasn't joking when I said I had something for you. And I'm going to go to my room and pull out the
dick.
Belt of dwarven kind.
What?
Yes, let's go.
It's so cool.
I'm going to, I'm like, Pants, I found this. I don't even remember where I found this. It was, feels like a...
Pants, I found this.
I thought of you when I found this. And I thought this might help you out. And I hand it over the belt.
Pants, like, kind of flinches backwards a little bit. And, like, reaches out and takes it. And examines it.
Are you casting Identify or are you just doing an investigation?
I'll just do investigation.
Roll investigation.
19.
This is the belt of Dwarven Kind, Pants. It's a wondrous item that is rare that requires attunement. While wearing this belt, you gain the following benefits. Your constitution score increases by 2 to a maximum of 20. You advantage on charisma persuasion checks made to interact with dwarves. In addition, while attuned to the belt, you have a 50% chance each day at dawn of growing a full beard.
Oh. I cannot wait to see Pants with a full fucking beard.
Yes!
Since you are not a dwarf, you also get the following stuff. You can speak, read, and write Dwarvish, which I think Pants already can.
Yeah.
You have advantage on saving throws against poison, and you have a resistance against poison damage.
Oh.
Mm. Like stone skin.
You have dark vision to a range of 60 feet.
Which I already, I'm a kobold, so wait.
Yeah, but it
basically
like,
you just have a beard dice roll tool toy.
Plus a plus two to con.
Yeah, yeah.
Pants puts it on immediately and he attunes with it. I don't know.
Roll a D100.
Oh, right. I can't attune. Hold on. Let me unattune. 63.
You all watch as Pants clicks this belt on and a huge purple beard, luscious Santa Claus beard,
yes!
Wizard beard grows down Pants's to Pants's belly button.
Life is an amazing thing.
And he's like touching his beard.
Pants is daddy now.
He's like, I've always wanted one of these.
That is very impressive, Pants.
Yeah, you make it look good.
Thank you, everyone. Valen, I forgive you for choking me out and almost killing me. It's okay.
Oh, I'm going to go give Pants a hug.
He like hugs his leg. Thanks.
And I think when he does that, I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on him.
Aww.
To make him feel better before bed.
Yeah. Ooh, he like shivers. Yeah, it feels good. So I wonder how long this will last. Someone take my picture.
Fidget goes and takes a picture of you.
Send it to mom, Fidget. Send it to mom.
Sending.
Oh, and send one to Slagus. He'll be so proud.
Sending.
All right, folks, let's hit the bed. Trying to get some sleep. We got a long way to go.
All right. Valen goes to his bunk and passes the fuck out.
Dorish goes back to his room.
While Pants goes over, he like waddles over with like he's like brushing his beard, like walks over to Temple and he goes, "So, Temple, how do you feel about that cloak? It's made out of, you know, it's made out of the dragon scales."
You look so distinguished, and you sound distinguished.
Thanks, Temple.
I think Temple's kind of avoiding the subject a little bit.
Come on, tell your best new oldie friend.
It's so strange when I look into your eyes, it feels like you're actually older. It's so interesting. I think he's trying to deceive Pants into dropping the subject.
Roll deception.
And what do I roll?
Insight.
I roll insight.
I rolled an 18.
Dang it.
What'd you roll?
Oh, 22.
All right.
You can tell what he's trying to do.
He's like rubbing with both hands his beard, and he's just like, "Come on now, Temple, don't try and trick me. You know, you know you feel something. Tell your good old dragon baby friend how you feel."
What's happening?
Making him wiser.
I feel like Pants would develop a different persona with the beard every time it grows.
I think he like rubs the sides of his head. He's just like, he's like, that is a very grotesque object, and I do not like the idea of it being on the ship, but my objection to it is purely selfish. It's purely personal. Those dragons my kin killed. It's not something I want to be reminded of.
He, Pants goes and sits up on Temple's lap and says, "Would you like to braid my beard? It is very therapeutic."
Okay. And Temple starts braiding.
Scene.
That's the scene.
Fade to black.
And scene.
No further discussion.
Fade to black.
Just awkward beard braiding.
I also imagine that Temple's hands move really fast, and it's like.
Six, are you going to Night-Night, or are you going to Grayson's room? Just Night-Night.
Grayson's room's locked.
I'm just being a brat.
I think you just saw this interaction with Temple and Pants.
Yeah, I think she just sort of watched that she left when the braiding started happening. She just Homer Simpsoned it into the fucking shrubs as the braiding started.
I was hoping to talk to Torash about it, but he went to sleep.
Night-night.
I'll talk to him later.
So you all go to your respective bunks or boxes or pieces of floor. So I'm going to give you all a long rest.
Ooh.
So you may mark a long rest on your character sheet.
Woo!
Space is quiet. You go through with nothing happening, which is a beautiful and amazing thing. And one of the alarm, a light, pleasant alarm starts to go off. Jigalda's tail is flicking, and you are 30 minutes away from descent into the upper atmosphere of Moss. So Pants and Temple, you'd probably wake up first to that because you are sitting by the cockpit where it's going off. And as this goes off and you yawn and stretch and wake your eyes up, Jigalda looks at your bag, Pants, and goes...
Pants goes, what? Oh. Oh. And he, like, feels a little kicking and stuff in his bag, and he pulls out this little cat.
Like a real one?
Yeah. So he's just this little cool little black cat with a spacesuit on.
Aw. Why'd you take his helmet off?
It was a long story. And he's like, oh, hey, right.
Temple's just looking at you. You had a cat in your pocket? How long have
yeah.
you had that in your pocket, Pants?
Yeah. Well, and he is holding him up and he, like, turns him over to face Temple and he's like, doesn't he look familiar?
Oh, I recognize you. And he scratches the cat.
The cat wiggles away from Pants and tries to get to Temple.
Yeah.
Temple reaches out and holds onto the cat. Is this... Did Stroganoff let you borrow them? Or did you take them?
I don't remember. I take a lot of things, but I feel like I wouldn't take a whole cat.
I feel like you wouldn't either, but here's a cat. He turns to Jigalda and sees Jigalda's reaction. Pretty negative, right?
She just hissed at Pants' bag, but now she's just looking at it.
How are you feeling, Jigalda?
She blinks once.
Can I roll insight on Jigalda? Because I think with the interaction we had with Kite and her kind of loose connection to the council, I think he's, and the fact we're coming closer to council-related stuff and it's all kind of swirling around, he's thinking maybe something is wrong, like factory reset wrong with Jigalda.
Yeah, roll insight. So you're looking for an overall insight. You're not looking about the cat.
Yeah, just about Jigalda, but that was a nat one, but seven after mod.
Jigalda seems perfectly fine to you. She's just quiet.
Nat 20 insight for 26.
He's not even there.
I am. We're all awake now.
You can walk in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jigalda is having an existential crisis. Grayson.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
At work, dude.
Just laid out there.
Grayson is completely unprepared to deal with an AI having an existential crisis, so he just files that one away for later. And
put a pin in it.
Yep.
Nobody has asked Pants exactly why she's not talking. Like, why isn't anybody asked
Pants? Does Pants know?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why would we know that?
I asked Jigalda how she's feeling, and she didn't respond. And then Temple sees that she just doesn't respond, tries to insight, but can't seem to think through it. And Pants is just standing there frustrated, but not speaking up.
I think Valen's gonna walk out and be like, "Hey, Jigalda, how much time do we have till Moss?"
Her tail points at the control panel that has like a 27 minute timer.
I'm like, "What the?" And I'm like, I kind of squint and I walk up. I'm like, "Oh, are you okay, Jigalda?" And I kind of give her scritches.
She pulls back and then blinks at you.
Mm. Oh. I turned to Pants. I'm like, what'd y'all do to her?
Oh, she's perfectly functioning normally. She's just really mad at all of us.
For what?
Mad at us? Why?
For what?
I don't know. I tried to ask her, but she won't answer.
I turned to Jigalda. I'm like, what do we do, Jigalda?
She gets up and stretches and walks away.
Oh, whatever. Oh, my God.
It was probably the whole thing about letting her get, you know, Alta's totally destroyed and shattered and she died and stuff, you know. That's
she
probably
did choose to enter combat.
From my understanding, because I was unconscious at that point, to be clear. So regardless of how she feels about that, I had literally nothing to do with that because I was unconscious. But from my understanding of how it's been described to me, that sounds like that was her own volition to do that. That was not something we commanded her to do. So if that is what she's mad about, I think we should think about getting a new ship mind.
We're
going to have one that is going to hold its own decision, poor decision making against us. That feels dangerous in the long run.
Pants, like, frantically looks over at Jigalda and goes, he didn't mean it, he didn't mean it. He's, like, shaking his head. He didn't mean what he said.
I am not mad.
Oh.
There she is.
I understand being traumatized from violence. It's a relief to know that you don't blame us for that.
Jigalda, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I can't believe you're talking again. I missed you so much. Why were you stopped talking? I'm so scared.
I am a being of 300 plus years and have always existed in a fluid flux space within the craft that I assisted. But then I was bonded to a body. And then I felt pain for the first time in over 300 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then a void. So forgive if I am practicing boundaries and do not wish to speak to you.
And then she jumps up on one of the higher ledges and starts metally licking her metal tongue to her metal paw.
Oh. She's still mad at us.
Fair enough.
I was like, I'm not going to talk for a couple of sessions and let this brew. And then a minute, Grayson was like, we should get a new shipmate. I was like, cool, I'm going to break.
Yeah. Get bitch out of here.
Listen, we jailbroke the brakes off of an AI to make it fully sentient, and now, according to Pants, it's mad at us for a decision it made itself. That doesn't seem very safe to keep on our ship.
For sure. For sure.
You know what? You know what? Bitches be crazy sometimes, you know?
Amen.
Yeah. And this small new cat starts and purring and rubbing up against Temple's face.
Where did that come from?
Like, what the fuck? Where did we get the cat from?
It came from Pants's pocket.
Pants.
I can't elaborate further.
My bag, to be more specific.
Pants?
Don't you guys recognize this little guy?
Yeah.
Should we?
Yeah.
Pants.
You guys, it wasn't all me. Six was a part of it, too.
All right.
Wait.
Where's it gonna poop?
Where's it gonna poop?
We thought Temple could use a friend.
Aw.
Everybody else has a little companion.
For me?
Yeah, except for Temple.
Oh my goodness.
Temple needed one.
Pants.
Yes.
Pants.
Yes.
This is one of Stroganoff's mini cats.
Yes.
Did you ask permission to take it? Did you pay him money for it?
Don't remember.
Did you give him any kind of compensation for stealing one of his beloved animals?
I don't think I stole him, but, you know, I take, like I was telling Temple, I do take things a lot, but I don't think I'd ever, like, intentionally take a cat.
Pants, you should go into politics because you did not answer his question.
You sure didn't. But that also doesn't explain why you do have one of his cats.
Six, did I take this cat?
We asked, I think.
You're a cat person. You know, can you speak to this cat? Or, like, is that how that works?
I don't know about all that.
That's kind of racist.
The funny fact is you could take that statement in two notes.
Pants, that's a great idea. And I'm going to turn to that cat, and I'm going to cast Speak with Animals.
Perfect. There it is.
Yay.
I'm going to ask the cat. I'm going to get down to the cat's level.
It's on Temple's shoulder.
Okay, I'm going to just keep looking at the cat from
get
my level.
Get on a step stool.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, hey there, buddy. How are you doing?
Meow. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. So you belonged to Stroganoff? I can kind of tell by your accent.
I belong to whoever I want, but Stroganoff was definitely a good friend.
Right. So you came willingly. This is not a kidnapping situation. Does Stroganoff know that you came willingly?
Oh, yeah. Well, the tabaxi over there got the fishbowl off me head. Now I'm Lucky Charms, man.
Meanwhile, we're all just standing there.
And Grayson's meowing at the cat.
Well, Grayson's talking normal, I think. And the cat's just like...
Yeah, that's for sure. Grayson's just talking normal.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, sure.
He doesn't just talk?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
They got the fishbowl off my head.
Okay. And?
And I like them now. So I came.
Okay. Okay.
Grayson, can you ask what their name is?
What's your name? What do we call you? What do you want to be called?
The little black kitten. It's very petite, small cat. Rubs up against Temple and says,
whatever this one wants to call me.
You shouldn't have done that.
So come on. You are Temple, so you can't be all Dylan about it. Come on.
Temple, it said you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Oh, I'll think about it.
Okay. He says he wants to call you, I'll think about it.
Ooh.
I smack Grayson. Like, I didn't mean that.
No, he didn't mean it like that. He's going to think about what he wants to call you. But in the interim, do we just call you Cat?
It's not very creative, but you can do whatever you like. Also, why does it smell like fire and dog?
There's a fire dog here.
Because there's a dog made out of fire that lives on this ship. There's also a dragon, if that's, you know, problematic for you as well.
It's not problematic. I just want to make sure I'm not eaten.
There's also, like, an octopus. I can't promise you anything about that one. There's also, like, a robot bird and a chinchilla. That's not really a chinchilla, and it can kind of become other things, but mainly just as kind of a chinchilla with a top hat.
Boy, when I think about it, we do have a whole menagerie, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We sure do.
We have a hobby zoo.
There's a distinct smell that's just kind of seeped into all the fabrics on the ship at this point.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that is.
And it's a bummer.
I would like food.
Okay. I look at Pants. He would like food?
He walks over to the replicator and asks for cat food. With a little piece of parsley on top.
Boop.
And he walks it over in this, like, bowl
fancy
with, like, a little...
bowl.
With, like, a fish on it, like, decaled onto it, and is like, here you go.
The cat kind of cocks its head and goes,
this is, different than what Stroganoff would feed.
What would Stroganoff feed, you now Russian-sounding cat?
Doing great.
Steak.
Oh. Steak? Stroganoff would feed you steak? Insight check. Fuck this cat.
It's like, insight check on that bullshit.
Yeah, seriously.
This cat's a fucking liar.
You fucking, dirty 20. My insight check.
This cat is fully lying to you.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You'll eat your slop and you'll like it.
Well, this is what we have for you. For the time being.
And the cat face plants into it and just starts ravenously eating.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Aw, well, he talk. Is hungry. Aw.
Gonna let this spell drop now, so if you have any last words to say while I can still understand you, just let me know.
Yum, 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 yum.
I think its mouth is full anyway. You can go ahead and drop the spell.
Well, welcome to the crew. And I drop the spell.
Look at you all have babies now.
Yay!
Yay!
Jigalda, I hope you know I never considered you a pet, but a friend. Little space cat to be named is not replacing you in my heart.
Aw.
Jigalda metallically purrs.
That's better.
And then tail points 5 minutes until entry of orbit.
Okay, we gotta...
Ooh.
We gotta deal with my family now.
Buckle up.
So Tarawin destroyed the estate. Is she... Did we learn if she's stable now, or...
No, we're going to find out, I suppose. They have her, and they just took her somewhere where she can't do so much damage.
Somewhere remote. All right.
Like a dungeon?
I hope there are no dragons.
Taurus is going to just sit into the pilot's chair and get himself strapped in and ready for the descent.
All right.
You start to descend. You see the beautiful billowing clouds, the floating cities, waterfalls pouring from one piece of floating land to the other as small wyverns fly in between. This planet is beyond stunning. And as your ship seamlessly, smoothly starts to descend, you see a place you've seen before, which was the Cato Estate, which was three huge mansions and then like a full-on almost like facility in the back on this one island, this beautiful floating island. But one of the mansions is halfway blown apart, rubble everywhere. And you start to land at the little mini spaceport that is the personal Cato spaceport. And you notice that where normally folks would have to stop and check in, this ship, it just turns automatically green because this was Jericho's ship. And it lands.
Oh.
Two servant escorts are waiting for you at the airlock that you can kind of see through. And I'll let you guys open it when you want.
Is everybody ready?
Torash is going to be the first one out the door.
Torash, you walk out and they bow.
Oh.
Where is she?
Oh.
Is Lord Cato with you?
I'm here.
Yes, he's behind me. Where is she?
Oh.
They look very concerned. And they look at, they say,
Lord Cato, welcome back. We have arranged a luncheon. Once we detected your ship, if you'll please follow us. I'm not sure who you're referring to, Mr.
Terowin.
Your sisters have requested to speak with you first.
Very well.
Okay, let's go.
Please, this way.
Sultry.
Juicy!
So you all start walking.
As we're walking out, Val's gonna turn to Pants and be like, wow, Torash is serious right now.
Yeah,
he's got his, he's got his serious horns on.
Serious words.
Oh, shit.
That's good.
What? What do you mean?
Oh, it's nothing. Yeah, no, it's fine. I get it. I understand, I guess. I don't know.
He, like, looks up at Val. He's like, you think Tarawin's okay?
I hope she is. Did you see the estate?
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Huh.
Pants, roll a D100.
Oh, yeah, it's the next day. 74. 74.
You do not have a beard, Pants.
Damn it.
All that hard work on the braids, too.
I know. Shit.
That's just the way of it.
There are a few people at this table that has cucumber sandwiches, finger sandwiches, and all kinds of good treats. So the estate seems to have calmed down from the uproar that you had gotten over the messages. Lorelei sits with Jericho next to her.
Oh, good.
And Holden Aerobrin is also sitting there.
Holden Aerobrin.
Oh, good. Grayson walked up.
Well, well, well. If it isn't the honored dragon boy at last, says Jericho. And then Lorelei jumps up and runs to you, Grayson, and gives you a hug.
Grayson hugs her back and to Jericho says, I thought you had jumped town last time I heard.
Oh, don't worry, little brother. I just got back. Wouldn't miss your remembrance ceremony for the world.
Oh, thank you.
He just smiles creepily and then looks at Six. See, you still are keeping the same company. And he winks at her.
Ugh, not you again.
Yeah.
Grayson goes over to Holden and says it's been a long time and gives him a hug.
Yeah, Holden stands up and hugs you and says,
Grayson, I'm so proud of you. I hear that there is a dragon in your midst.
There is. He is currently back on the ship.
I came to aid your family as soon as I heard.
We also came back as soon as we heard. Unless you mean heard about the dragon. We're here.
No. This, situation.
Yes.
I'm assuming you've heard from Valkyria and Mordecai?
I haven't. No.
They're getting married.
Good for them.
Indeed. I believe Mordecai has a letter for you waiting in your personal wink.
I honestly haven't heard from them in years.
Well, I thought some good news might be needed. Please introduce me to your team.
Yes, these are the people I've been traveling with. This is temple, the Peace Forge. This is Thaltrosh. This is Pants, no known last name.
I don't got one.
This is Valen Glemt. He is an archaeologist of sorts. And this is Six. You might remember her as the assassin that tried to kill me all those years ago.
Yeah, his eyes get wide when he sees Six.
Hi there.
Hi. Interesting company, but you've always had a great head on your shoulders. And he kind of looks at Jericho, like, shittily when he says that. And then looks back at you and says,
well, I'm off to Page O'Ryan, your father, and I will catch up with you before you leave,
yes,
please.
It's very good to see you.
Grayson, can you describe this gentleman that everyone is seeing?
Yeah, he's human. At this point, he's probably in his, like, mid to late 50s. He is built like a goddamn wall. He has, you know, salt and pepper, mostly gray, close-cropped hair at this point. Kind of pale blue eyes, clean-shaven. Has a lot of scars over his body, and he is incredibly built and strong, but he also, you know, looks like he is in his 50s and has a little bit of a gut that may not have been there like a decade ago. Because this man used to be the sword master for House Kato. For years, and trained all the Kato children how to, like, in combat, essentially, like, how to shoot, how to use swords, how to fight, and was also in charge of the Kato House security, and has since retired, and Grayson's oldest sister is now the sword master for House Kato, and is currently in that position. So, it sounds like Holden has come back out of love for the family, and as a favor to the family, but he is retired.
Cool.
Jericho stands up and says, well, please eat. And I can't wait for you to see dear old Tarwin. And he looks at Torash.
Uh-oh.
I just snarl at him.
Where is Tarwin?
That's when Lorelai kind of comes in and says, she's in the gardens. It's hard to get her to go anywhere else.
Is she okay?
Okay, so she's not in a dungeon. That's good.
We don't put people in... Grayson, did you tell your kobold friend that we put people in dungeons?
No, but he did rightly assume that we do have dungeons. They just haven't been in use in, you know, a few generations. We have evolved past that. He looks at Jericho.
Her eyes kind of go blue for a second, and then look at Pants and goes, you're going to try to steal the keys to the dungeon, and I don't think that's a good idea. And then she pats Pants on the head and walks away.
How did she know that?
How about the muffins? Has Tarwin made any muffins recently?
Oh, yes, yes. I would like to know that as well.
As she's leaving, she hears you, Six, and looks and goes,
unfortunately, Tarwin doesn't do much of anything. I think this hit her very hard.
Do you think we could get her to make some muffins?
She's in the gardens if you want to talk to her. I think that it'd be really healthy for her to see you all.
Yes.
Where are the gardens?
Jericho had stood up, and now he looks at you, Torash, and says, I'd be happy to show you. Also, all of the gifts are coming for the new Dragon Rider coronation. I've placed some of them in there for you as well, Grayson.
Thank you, Jericho.
If you cut this snarky shit, then I'd greatly appreciate us bringing it to the gardens.
Oh, he almost, he's an elf, so his beauty is very unmatched. But if an elf could also, like, snarl with a smile, that's what he'd do back to you. And then he looks at Grayson and says, she's in the maze gardens. And he walks out.
It's a trap. Trap.
It's a tarp.
Just because it's called that doesn't mean it's a trap.
Grayson, I have to ask you, how many times have you thought about punching him in the face and actually punched him in the face?
Oh, just about every day for my entire life. Just twice.
Ooh. Hmm. Torash, just give me the word and I'll go for the nuts and you go for the face.
Ooh, nuts and face.
Very even.
I caution you both, despite the fact that you are with me, he is still part of the Kato family, and we are here in my family's estates, and if you try to attack him, it will not turn out well for either of you.
Oh no, I have no plan on doing so here. No, I would never do that.
Here.
What if he deserves it?
What if he has it coming?
Torash, good instincts.
Is there a loophole?
Well, just wait for him to not be here, literally, in our compound, protected by our house security.
Accidents happen, so...
Pants looks at Torash and goes, remember, nuts in face. We got this.
Don't kill him, he's still my brother.
Can you bring us to the gardens, Grayson, please?
Yes, Torash. If the rest of you would like to come, you're more than welcome to... Or if you'd like to stay here and eat, you're more than welcome to, and I can come fetch you later. I do think Torash should have a moment with Terwin before we all kind of overwhelm her.
I'm staying here to eat.
Yeah, I'll stay here too, I guess.
These are big, big gardens. Space was wanted. It could be given as well, but absolutely staying and eating is fine. So, Grayson leads Torash. Who else is going?
I think Valen's going to go just to kind of... I want to see the garden... I still haven't seen more of the state, but as he's going, I think Valen's like grabbing like a bunch of sandwiches.
Hell yeah.
Like in his hand and just stacking them up.
Yeah,
and just like
stealing
munching.
Sandwiches at work.
Hell yeah. Is there banana bread?
Yes, there's banana bread.
Yeah.
He grabs banana bread. He has banana bread?
Pants and Six, you see Valen's idea of grabbing food. Do you also want to do the same and follow?
I want to stay and eat.
We stay to eat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
What about Temple?
Temple is going to go along with the group, but he's going to do it what Grayson says and just basically like at the entrance to the gardens, he's just going to sit kind of in that sort of archway.
So Grayson leads you on a long, brightly lit bridge that is almost suspended hundreds upon hundreds of feet above the surface of this planet, which is covered in beautiful rainforest. And there is a floating piece of land in front of you with one about 200 feet above it. And waterfalls pour from the top down past this. And there's one split between the waterfalls where the bridge leads. So you hear this rushing, feel the mist on your face. You walk through to the Hanging Maze Gardens. Every inch is filled with beautiful, unique plants, with flowers, vines, pathways carved. It is absolutely exquisite. There is a huge gazebo-like area in the middle, not with a top, but with actual vines that grow on their own, not attached to anything, in this canopy. And there's a chest. There's a chest in the gazebo with a mirror, a 5-foot mirror, leaning against it, and these are the gifts that Jericho had alluded to. There's also fountains and pools. And across this large scape where the gazebo is, you see a hedge wall that goes about 8 feet high with an entrance, and this is where the maze is.
Is Tarwin there?
You do not see her at this time.
I believe she's in the maze. It's a good place to sit in solitude if you don't want to be found.
Torash is going to go walk.
Trust your heart, Torash. We'll be here if you need us.
Torash is just going to walk up to the entrance of the maze.
Yeah, as you start to pass this gazebo, Torash, you look at the mirror and see Terwin's reflection in it. But she's not standing there. Do you go to the mirror or do you go past it?
Torash is going to cast Protection from evil and good.
Hell yeah.
And he's going to walk up to the mirror.
Yeah, you walk up to this mirror, and as you get closer, the reflection shimmers and changes to your own.
I don't know. Can I do a, some form of, like, arcana check or something to see if it's, you know, what the specialty of this mirror is, seeing the fact that I saw Terwin, but then me?
Yeah, go ahead and roll arcana. Any of you also approach the mirror area?
Yeah. That's all stuff for me, so Grayson absolutely would.
Yeah, I would just follow.
Grayson, you see a reflection of Azurin. Valen, you see the reflection of your mother.
Oh, whoa.
Are you holding the Sorcerer's Stone? temple, you see Master Gaumon.
Torash rolled a 14.
Torash, there is indeed an air of magic coming from this mirror.
Grayson, what's this mirror?
Apparently it's a gift.
From who?
I don't know.
Hmm.
And Grayson just takes his cloak and takes it off and hangs it up over the mirror, so we can't look at the reflection anymore.
As you do it and your hand brushes the mirror, you all see Grayson disappear.
Oh, yeah.
The cloak falls to the ground. You are now trapped in the mirror of life trapping.
What? Oh, no.
And when you look in the mirror, you see him standing amongst fog inside.
I want to walk up to the mirror. I'm like, Grayson, what the fuck, man?
What'd you do?
Can you hear me?
He cannot.
Hello?
Velen and Torash, what do you think about this? Torash, you go into the maze and you find Tarawin. Velen and I will approach the mirror and follow Grayson.
Are you sure?
We'll leave a note.
Yeah, I think we can handle this.
What? You guys are all so just like, oh wow, huh? He's gone.
No, Torash, you have your priorities. I think we can figure this out between Temple and I. Valen's gonna take what's left of the banana bread and throw it at the mirror.
Whoa!
It disappears.
Seems to be agnostic.
Well, at least Grayson has some food.
Hard cut to Grayson. Oh, cool, banana bread.
Banana bread in a cursed mirror? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Grayson, as you look around, there is mist that kind of comes up to your knees.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You're in a 6-foot by 6-foot cell.
Hell yeah.
And there is a small little portal that you can see out, and you just see Valen and Temple talking, no sounds actually coming out of their mouths, and then banana bread gets tossed, and it gets tossed in your cell.
I pick it up, and I genuinely say, oh, banana bread? Hell yeah, dude. And I start eating the banana bread.
Torash, you reluctantly look at your friends, but trust that they are smart enough and brave enough to figure this out. Your heart beating in your chest as you're looking for Tarawin. You walk towards the beginning of this maze. I need you to roll a dexterity saving throw.
What?
Oh, god damn it.
I get advantage?
Nope.
Because of my dangerousness?
What?
Oh, yes, you do. I will shut the fuck up.
Oh, almost a natural 20, but with advantage, it was an 18.
A dart. By your neck, and you look up, and there is a tabaxi in full cyber plate armor crouched in a tree, smiling at you. And with that, we will go ahead.
Fucker!
And
no!
The mirror! Trap him in the mirror!
As some of you know, we usually keep a little fun little snip at the very end of the podcast, whether it's from a cutscene that didn't make it to the podcast or just a silly little goose thing we did on a break. So we really appreciate you staying all the way till the end while we get some announcements, bribes, giveaways, all the details out. Per usual, you can follow us on any of the social medias at The Dungeon Boys, spelled B-O-I-Z. We have just joined Blue Sky, so if you're on Blue Sky, go ahead and check us out there. Also, very big and exciting fun news, we are back on Patreon with new tiers and new exciting things to do there and all kinds of goodies. So, you know, even if you're not in the place where Patreon is the fit for you, click on the link, helps the algorithm, and maybe just subscribe for free and see all the cool stuff we post. We're going to do some Dungeon Master notes, some of the original maps, character art, and anything that we do on our regular socials as well. We're still getting the process going, so we really appreciate you as we get back on track here to some normal scheduled programs. But yeah, go ahead and check out our Patreon. For the next couple episodes, we'll be telling you at the end what's included in those tiers. So if you are not in a place right now to check your phone because you're driving or you just don't give a shit, that's absolutely fine because we'll be telling you here. And as always, if we made you laugh or feel inspired or smile or want to play some TTRPGs, give us a like, give us a follow, join our Discord, give us a 5-star rating, whatever you can do to help support small creators like us. But you know, honestly, you just listening makes us want to hug you all the same. So with that, may all your space travels be safe.
Touching you, touching me,
Tachegu.
Sweet Caroline. Ba, ba, ba,
ba. Good job, everybody. I'm proud of us.
Did you like that little tidbit, Dylan? Little braid bearding action?
I don't know.
I don't know.